Let's read together Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Here we have Matthew's account of the two blind men healed by our Lord as he left Jericho on his way up to Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 29. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Let's begin our study of this last portion of Matthew chapter 20 with some background notes. The setting for this miracle of the healing of the blind men was near Jericho. The Lord had completed his brief ministry in Perea on the east side of the Jordan River and had crossed over the Jordan and was now on his way up to Jerusalem and the events that awaited him there during the final week. So this miracle took place about a week before the crucifixion. Jericho was located down in the Jordan Valley, about 15 miles from Jerusalem. When you travel from Jericho up to Jerusalem, you literally travel uphill all the way, because Jerusalem is a couple of thousand feet above sea level, and Jericho is about 1,000 feet below sea level. Kind of interesting when you drive in your Holy Land tours from Jerusalem to Jericho, here you are out in the middle of the Judean wilderness, and all of a sudden there's a sign there, sea level. You're dropping now down below sea level as you go down to Jericho. Now, when you compare the parallel accounts of this miracle in Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18, there are a couple of differences. However, these differences can be harmonized with no problems. One difference has to do with the number of blind men healed, and the other difference has to do with exactly where the miracle took place. Matthew says that there were two blind men, verse 30, and both were healed, verse 34. But in the gospel accounts of Mark and Luke, we read of only one blind man, and Mark gives us the name of Bartimaeus. So how many blind men were there? There were two. But Mark and Luke concentrate on blind Bartimaeus because he was probably the more outspoken and prominent of the two. Mark and Luke do not say that there was only one blind man. There were two blind men. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Mark and Luke select to concentrate on one of the blind men, and Mark says that his name was Bartimaeus. Illustration. If you go out to the parking lot here this morning and look at the hood of my car, you will see a number of dings. And we would talk about the hailstorm in Buffalo Grove last Sunday afternoon that caused the damage. And you would ask me what I plan to do about my damaged car, and I would tell you my options, etc., etc. But that's not the whole story. The whole story is that I have more than one vehicle damaged in that same hailstorm. Now, I'm not trying to hide the fact or say that I had only one vehicle damaged. No. I've just selected to talk about one of the damaged vehicles, the one that's sitting in the church parking lot right now. By the way, the two blind men healed here in Matthew chapter 20 are not the same two blind men healed in Matthew chapter 9. That was a different event, which I think is obvious. Now, what about the question of where the miracle took place? Where did this miracle take place? Exactly where? Matthew and Mark say it was as they were leaving Jericho, verse 29. Now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Luke, on the other hand, says the miracle took place as they were entering Jericho. I'm reading Luke chapter 18 And verse 35, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho or approaching Jericho or entering Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Contradiction in the Bible? Matthew says as they're leaving Jericho. Mark says as they're leaving Jericho. Luke says as they're entering Jericho. Contradiction in the Bible? No. Two possible answers. The blind men may have made their request for healing as they were entering Jericho, but the actual healing took place as they were leaving Jericho. That's one possibility. But the more likely solution has to do with the fact that there were two Jerichos at that time. Did you know that? There were two Jerichos. In fact, if you go over there today, there's three Jerichos. There's the modern city of Jericho, the Old Testament tell of Jericho, and the Herodian Jericho. But at that time, there were two Jerichos. There was Old Testament Jericho, which was in ruins at that time, and not too far away on the road up to Jerusalem was New Testament Jericho, the Jericho that Herod the Great had built. The outskirts of both Jerichos merged. Most likely, the miracle took place between the two Jerichos as they were leaving Old Testament Jericho, according to Matthew and Mark, and as they were entering New Testament Jericho, according to Luke. No problem solving these things. This is where background can help you. Matthew and Mark, being Jews and steeped in the tradition of the Hebrew Scriptures, would refer to the Jericho of the Old Testament, even though it was in ruins. The road to Jerusalem certainly went by Old Testament Jericho. Dr. Luke, on the other hand, being a Gentile and probably never having visited Jericho, referred to the Jericho that was inhabited at the time of Christ, namely Herodian or New Testament Jericho. So these apparent discrepancies, contradictions, differences in the gospel accounts can all be harmonized. No problem. I trust that these background notes have been helpful. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last portion of Matthew chapter 20. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord will never ignore the cry of faith. The Lord will never ignore the cry of faith. The cry of these two blind men was more than just a cry for help. They cried out in faith to the Lord. How do we know? Because of what they cried out. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They addressed Jesus as Lord, Son of David. Son of David was a messianic title. They recognized that Jesus was the promised Messiah who would be in the line of David according to the prophetic scriptures. Notice that they did not cry out, have mercy on us, O great healer. No, it was the cry of faith to Jesus as Lord and Messiah. There's no way that the Lord would ignore this cry of faith. He stopped and with compassion healed these blind men. What a wonderful picture of salvation we have here. Before we're saved, we are spiritually blind and in spiritual darkness. When we exercise faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, we are brought out of darkness and into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. And the Lord will never ignore the cry of faith. Yes, the Bible teaches the doctrines of election and predestination in reference to salvation, but at the same time, the Lord will never ignore the cry of faith. Romans 10:13 says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Let me ask you this morning, have you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? You cannot save yourself by good works or by any other means. You must, in faith, call upon the name of the Lord because he died on the cross for your sins. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can call upon the name of the Lord right now and be saved because the Lord will never ignore the cry of faith. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord has come to cancel the effects of sin. The Lord has come to cancel the effects of sin. The miracles of our Lord Jesus not only backed up his claim to be God, but they demonstrated what it will be like in the future when the effects of sin will be removed from this earth. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more disease or death or demonic or natural disaster. Did you catch those four D's? No more disease, no more death, no more demonic, no more natural disaster. All of these D's are the effects of sin in this world. If sin had never come in, there wouldn't be any of these problems and fallout from sin. So when the Lord healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons and calmed the storms, we are given a glimpse of what it will be like when all the effects of sin are removed. And there will be a new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:18. So in this miracle of the healing of the blind men, we not only have a wonderful picture of salvation, but a foretaste as well of the removal of the effects of sin. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of the world and all the bad fallout from sin. The Lord has come to cancel the effects of sin. What about practical application from this last portion of Matthew chapter 20? Now that you can see, what direction are you traveling? Now that you can see, what direction are you traveling? If you're a believer here this morning, you are like these blind men that were healed. They had to go against the crowd that was telling them to be quiet. Verse 31. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." You too had to cross that hurdle. The crowd of this world will never point you in the right direction. And when you're searching and looking for salvation and crying out, they'll tell you to be quiet. The world would never point you in the right direction. Now that the blind men could see, they continued to go in the right direction. Verse 34 says that they followed the Lord. They did not stay in Jericho. They did not just enjoy their sight for themselves. They followed the Lord up to Jerusalem. That was not an easy road. Remember the background. That was not an easy road. It was uphill all the way. And we know what kind of reception the Lord received in Jerusalem. Do you see the spiritual lesson? Now that you can see, what direction are you traveling? Now that you're a Christian, are you following the Lord? Traveling uphill is not as easy as coasting downhill. And traveling with Christ will bring persecution. But the Lord is with you on the road if you're going in the right direction. Now that you can see, what direction are you traveling?